Gopi Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam today. Second canto, sixth chapter, 24th and 25th verses. The 24th has no purport, so I will chant the verse and the translation by myself, and then the 25th we will do together. Okay? Teshu yaj, teshu yaj shastya. Pashavam. So, no, it's okay. Savana pataya kusha idam cha deva yajanam kalashkuru gunavitam. Translation. For performing sacrificial ceremonies, one requires sacrificial ingredients such as flowers, leaves, and straw, along with the sacrificial altar and a suitable time, spring. Going now to the 25th verse. Vastuni Oshadaya Sneha Rasalohamrda Jalam Racha. Excuse me. Yajumsi Samani Chatuhutram Cha Satama. Vastunyo sadaya sneha rasalohamrdo jalam vicho yajumsi samani chaturhutram cha sattama. Vastunyo sadaya sneha Rasaloham Ridojalam Richo Yajumsi Samani Chaturhatran Chasatama Vastun Yasodaya Sneha Rasaloham Ridojalam Vicho yajumsi samani chaturhutram cha sattama. Please chant. Rastunya Soda Yatsneha Rasaloham Ridojalam Ladies, please. Thank you for bringing it back. I'm so grateful. Anyone else? Okay. Synonyms. Okay. Vastuni utensils. Oshadaya grains. Sneha clarified butter. Rasaloha mrida. Honey, gold, and earth. Jalam, water. Rachaha, the Rig Veda. Yajumsi, the Yajurveda. Samani, the Samaveda. Chatuhutram, four persons conducting the performance. Cha, all these, Sattama, O pious one. Translation. Other requirements are utensils, grains, clarified butter, honey, gold, earth, water, the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, and Sama Veda, these are scriptures, and four priests to perform the sacrifice. Please repeat. Other requirements are utensils, grains, clarified butter, honey, gold, earth, water, the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, and Sama Veda, and four priests to perform the sacrifice. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. To perform a sacrifice successfully, at least four expert priests are needed. One who can offer hota, one who can chant udgata, one who can kindle the sacrificial fire without the aid of separate fire, advaryu. That simply means a person can create fire by mantra. He doesn't have to go to another fire like a match or anything like that. He simply pronounces a mantra, and because he has the potency to perform that mantra, he produces fire. These are more advanced souls. And one who can supervise Brahma. Such sacrifices were conducted from the birth of Brahma. The birth meaning the time of the birth of Brahma. The first living creature, and were carried on till the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira. But such expert priests are very rare in this age of corruption and quarrel. And therefore, in the present age only, the yajna of chanting the holy name of the Lord is recommended. The scriptures enjoin, Hare Nama, you can do it with me, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. This is a very important verse that Lord Chaitanya gave us. And it means To achieve God realization, one should chant the holy name of the Lord. Chant the holy name, chant the holy name. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. So one may ask immediately, what do you mean there's no other way? What about the yoga system and the philosophical system and the different impersonalistic system? What about them? So that's why Lord Chaitanya is saying right here, there's no other way because all those ways are worthless, useless, and good for nothing for people in this age. They have no value. Because all they do is puff a person up with a sense of ego. Oh, yes, I'm just seeing the light. I see the light everywhere. I am the light. You are the light. Everything is the light. And that's the extent of their realization. Totally impersonal, totally empty, having really very little, if no value. Lord Chaitanya wanted to make this point very, very important. And that's why we have this verse. I'll again give the translation. To achieve God realization in this age of Kali. I forgot that in the first. To achieve God realization in this age of Kali, chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. There is no other way. No other way. No other way. Now, why do we repeat these three times? Because Sir Srila Prabhupada so often said that we repeat something three times in order to make sure that we don't forget it. Why won't we not forget it? Because it's such an important verse. And we should be chanting it when you walk in the street, going up the stairs, just sitting and relaxing. But what it is saying is, chant this holy name again and again and again. Sometimes a person may feel and think that it becomes boring after a while. That's because the person is so impure. When impurities become to disappear or dissipate, then the soul is experiencing that holy name, which is Krishna. Krishna and the holy name are non-different. They're one. So when the soul, which originally manifests from Krishna, receives or experiences or associates with Krishna, it is actually very joyful. That's what is said in the Shikshastika. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord, how? Constantly. Why constantly? Well, when a person chants the holy name with intensity, with love, with appreciation, with surrender, those feelings are present. What happens is that the Lord reciprocates. And when the Lord reciprocates from that chanting, the Lord bestows upon us deep inner peace, joy, uplift, elation, and so many other wonderful, overwhelming feelings of happiness. And it's all inside, within us. So, therefore, it becomes very easy to keep chanting again and again and again because we're experiencing transcendental bliss. If you're experiencing nothing because really there's no feelings going on while we're chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Mama, Mama, Mama. Yeah, there's some devotees, they don't chant Rama, they chant Mama, 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 like they're calling their mother. Well, it's not bad to call your mother, especially if she's a great devotee, but that's not the way the mantra is supposed to go. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And then a half hour later, what happened? The class ended. Yeah, therefore, it's very important that we be attentive when we're chanting. If you're feeling sleepy, as that second person was, well, take some water and just throw it all over your face. That's what I used to do. I'd be sitting and nodding out. So somebody would tell me, hey, why don't you stand up? So I'd stand up, and then I'd almost fall on the floor. So he said, take use of the wall. The wall? That's not going to help me. So I'd finally find a chair and sit down on it and tell somebody near me, hey, if you see my head going down, would you give me a punch? And person give me a little punch, I'd be waking up again. So it's important to be fully aware, fully knowing what we're doing and having feelings about the holy name. The holy name is non-different from Krishna. We've got Krishna in our throat. And Krishna is streaming throughout our bodies. Isn't that something to celebrate? Isn't that something to be uplifted about? Isn't that something to glorify the Lord about, that he's given us such an opportunity to be close to him simply by his own name in which he has invested himself? Oh, my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. A few rules, but nothing really like what they do in the amongst the Mayavadis, and they deal with their different mantras. The main thing is what I have just said. Chant the name, hear the name. Don't say it robotically. Don't say it mechanically. I guess I'm finished. But we're not finished. We haven't even started. That's very important. We need to be a little bit self-questioning. Am I chanting this mantra properly? Am I doing it with my heart? Am I doing it with feeling? Am I doing it as a service to Krishna? I'm chanting your name because you're so glorious, Lord. You're so wonderful, Lord. You're so great, Lord. When we chant with that attitude, then Krishna is not merely a sound, but he becomes a glorious, great, wondrous person. And when we chant the name with that understanding that Krishna is so great, believe me. You don't have to believe me, but I'm sure there are other devotees who will say the same thing. Krishna reciprocates. He gives something of himself back. He says, oh, this devotee is chanting so sincerely, so deeply, so seriously. Look how much he loves me. And he's not thinking of anything else except that. And he has a picture of me in front of him in order to make sure that his mind stays focused upon me. Oh, he loves me so much. I feel obligated. I must give him some of the great amount of love that I have. And so what Krishna does is he, like a hose, he showers that love from himself into the soul. And from the soul, it goes to the heart. And from the heart, it just streams throughout the arms, the head, the legs, all over. And the devotee, when he is flooded and filled with those types of feelings, sometimes is difficult to stand up or sometimes even difficult to sit. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially in the dancing of of Lord Chaitanya at Ratha Yatra, many of the devotees, they couldn't stand. They were so flooded and filled and uplifted from the chanting of the holy name. Some of them fell to the floor. Even Lord Chaitanya, not floor, but to the ground. Lord Chaitanya himself, he fell to the ground. And sometimes the others were so busy in their own chanting, they didn't even bother to help pick him up. But of course, King Prataparudra, he saw him there, and he grabbed him, and he pulled him up. And when Lord Chaitanya kind of opened his eyes and saw, oh, a king! A king has picked me up! At that point, he was entranced. So, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya happened to be nearby, and he says, don't worry. He's simply setting an example that we as persons of the world should not be trying to and wanting to achieve God realizations, should not be wanting to associate with big people. They're worthless, they're useless, they're puffed up, they're arrogant, they're condescending. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew, he knew that King Prataparudra was not that kind of king. King Prataparudra was a great devotee of the Lord. He always wanted to speak with the Lord. He wanted to gaze at the Lord. And there were some arrangements which were made in which Prataparudra sent his son, and then his son came back, and Prataparudra was so grateful, so gladdened to see his son who had been in association with the Lord. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to King Pratapuruja, when the Lord said, "Oh no, a king, I touched a king." He said, "Don't worry. He is very, very much gladdened to see you, especially since you have taken a broom and you've brushed the road with a broom, taken the position of an ordinary person, not caring for your position, not caring for your greatness, not caring for the applause and the adulation. He's very much satisfied with you." So, of course, King Pratibharuja knew that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was such close. He was close to the Lord, and he was a great devotee of the Lord, and the Lord had made him. He took him from an impersonalistic state and made him into an incredibly wonderful devotee. So, therefore, Pratapuruja did not worry so much about what the Lord had said. The Lord had said it as a sample, as an example to others. Make sure you don't try to rub elbows with big-time people just for the sake of feeling, "Oh, I'm big, I'm great, I'm wonderful. Look, I talked to this movie actor, I talked to this movie actress, I talked to this politico, I talked to this one. Wow, look how wonderful." People have this false identification. And so what the Lord was, Lord Chaitanya was trying to do, he was trying to make an important point that stuff, there are no big people in the world except Krishna and his devotees. And sometimes the devotees may be penniless, but they have love of God and they never stop thinking of God. They never stop glorifying God. They never stop trying to share God with others and tell them that if you want to feel peaceful, you want to feel joyful, you want to feel happy, please chant this Hare Krishna mantra as it says right over here. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The whole idea is we have these three names. These names are completely potent. Potent with what? Potent with peace. Potent with love. Potent with joy. Potent with power and strength. That's what these names are. We have Krishna, all attractive. What does it mean to be all attractive? Well, he has, first of all, six opulence. This is... He's very beautiful. People who would see Krishna, especially ladies, they would see him. They would come out to the balcony. Some would almost fall over the balcony. He was so beautiful, so handsome, so attractive. So he's all attractive. And as I said, he's beautiful. He's wealthy. Well, he owns the whole world. He made it. He has a right to claim it. It is his. And he knows it. But he doesn't make a big show that I'm so wealthy, I'm so wonderful, I'm so glorious. He doesn't do that. He doesn't have to do that. People who are small time, who think they're little and insignificant and insecure, they try to make themselves big. You know, they get a nice Mercedes. People think, oh, he made it big. He made it big. Meanwhile, the guy is in hock for about like $100,000. And hock means, for those who don't know that expression, means he's in debt. So he's riding around in a very fancy car, but he can hardly pay his debts. So beautiful, wealthy, strong, powerful. Does anybody know a seven-year-old child who could lift with his little left pinky a whole mountain? Anybody know anybody like that? If you do, please introduce him to me. I'd like to meet him. Okay. Yeah, he held up Govardhan Hill. And in holding up Govardhan Hill... he showed, although he was 7 years old, he had extreme, beyond ordinary power. He had the kind of power that only the divine could have. Nobody could match that. That's one of the ways a person says to me, you know, "I'm God." Sometimes he's impersonalist. I've sat in the prasadam room and says, "Yeah, well, I'm the Lord." So I would usually say, "You are?" I said, "Yeah, I'm the Lord." "How do you know?" He says, "Well, I see the light." I say, "Well, I see when the sun comes up every morning, I see the light too, but I'm not the Lord." So I would generally say to me, "Are you sure that you're the Lord? The Lord could take a mountain and hold it on his little pinky. He could hold it. Can you do that?" He said, "I don't think so, but I'm working up to it." It's called the post-dated check. So he said, I'm working up to it. I said, okay, let's take something a little less challenging. How about, you see that building across the street? It's only two stories. Do you think they can give me a lift with your... I'll even take your hand. Can you lift it with your hand? Well, I'm working up to it. Yeah, well, keep working on it because I don't think you're ever going to make it. Well, you don't know where I'm headed. I've got big things, great powers, but I just don't want to show them to you. I said, good luck, Charlie. And that would be the end of it. Yeah, challenge. Why should we accept these people? Juicy, it's called reductio ad absurdum. It's the absurd. It reduces to complete absurdity when they can't even show, they hardly can lift a pebble, let alone a whole mountain. So, powerful, famous. 5,000 years ago, the Supreme Lord was doing so many wonderful things. He was destroying so many demons. He was marrying so many ladies, like 16,000 women. They got the opportunity to be his wife. Amazing. Of course, some people may say, well, that's why should he have so many wives? Well, he doesn't need the wives. But the wives like to be with him. What woman would not want to be with Krishna? Even if there's 15,000 others, at least you get a chance to see with him, walk with him, talk with him, go to sleep with him, have children with him. There's nothing better than all that. So, therefore, there's nothing sinful about it because it is being done by the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord, as the Lord, can only give blessings to all those ladies. And that's what they want. They want the blessings. They want their children to be blessed. And their children being blessed will also add greatness, will grant good character, virtue. All those things will come to the children, and the children will spread that throughout the world. So therefore, it was a good thing. Krishna does have 16,108 wives. So sometimes the Christians, they mock us. They say, why does God have to have so many ladies? So I generally respond, I said, well, why does Jesus have to have so many nuns as his spouses? Every time a woman, she takes the final vows, she puts a ring on her finger and declares that she is a spouse of Jesus. So Jesus has millions. And you're talking about Krishna with 16,000? Go away. And usually they understand that it's true. And these women, they maintain a very strict chastity. And in so doing, they are very true to him, very faithful to him. And they generally, of course, there are always exceptions to the rule, but they generally obey these. And many of them have become saints and done many miracles, not because they wanted to do miracles, not because they even take, that they don't even take credit for those miracles, you know, divine healings, things like that. Bringing a person who's dead back to life, manifesting these perfumes, not that you put on your body, but which come as a result of your spirituality. So many things. So many of these women have become very famous just for their manifestations of God's difference. It's not like the yogis. The yogis actually deliberately try to gain these different powers. That's different. These women and men as well, these powers come just like Haridas Thakur. He went underwater for a long time. How? Because just by chanting the holy name, the powers came to him. So he didn't deliberately care to have powers. He didn't want powers. But when they were given, then he used them. Look at Hanuman. He could fly through the sky in order to try to serve Lord Ramachandra, to find Sita. So yes, he did that, and also he made himself into a little kitten to get under the gate. So he used the powers in Lord Ramachandra's service. And in doing that, he helped to find Sita, and Lord Ramachandra was very pleased with him and hugged him. And although Hanuman, getting a hug from the Lord, Remember, he's in the servant mentality. So he always wants the head bowed, his palms together, his head at the feet of the Lord. But when the Lord grabbed him and hugged him and says, Hanuman, you have done so much wonderful service to me. I can never thank you enough. So Hanuman, he was speechless. He couldn't say anything. Couldn't do anything. He's a monkey. But not really a monkey. He speaks great Sanskrit. And he can sing the songs very, very beautifully. So Hanuman shows he's the ideal, the most greatest of servants, persons in that service. So I'm getting close to the time. I could probably go on for a few hours, but I'll spare you. Since it's coming near 8:30, I'd like to take a few minutes for anyone here who would like to ask a question about anything that I've said so far. And if I've offended anyone, I offer my apologies right now so that at least my slate can be clear when I walk out of this temple. Is there anyone who has a question? Come on, Satchit. No, you're always telling me to give leave time for questions. I did it. Now give me a few goodies. No, he's got his head down. No? Nobody has questions? Well, I want to thank you for bearing, tolerating, and enabling me to go on and on. And I thank you so much. I pray that everyone be blessed with Krishna's love so that when you walk out of this temple, the feeling should be, Krishna is flooding my heart and I want to do so much nice service for him. Please, Lord, do that for me. And I thank you all. Hare Krishna.
I have some cartels here. I don't know if they go over there or somebody owns. Thank you so much.